going to talk about something from Scripture today, and we're really going to be very biblical about it in the sense of baptism, getting ready for next week, and there's going to be hopefully spontaneity to this, and people will come who have never been baptized, maybe you've been saved. So we're going to look at the, is there any more light up here? I can see my notes. No, okay. No problem. I'll just turn this down. Now then, I turn that down a little bit and I can see. There are a number of ways that people baptize. Means, right method, right man, right purpose for baptism. Lots of ways people baptize. They sprinkle. They just kind of splash. They immerse. Those types of things that they do. And we're going to talk about those and the significance of them this morning. Lots of conversations regarding baptism. What does it mean? What happens when you're baptized? Does anything happen when you're baptized? Well, it was a very common practice to baptize during the days of Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus was dedicated, you'll recall, by his parents, Mary and Joseph, early on. And so when he comes now and meets John in the wilderness, John the Baptist, and John's doing a number of things, but he's in with the people, he's preaching, and he's baptizing. And Jesus comes to him, and John says something very, very significant in John 1:29. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, the thing about baptism is I want to be real clear up front that baptism does not save. Baptism is not what washes your sins away. There was a group of people years ago, way back in time, that even believed that the water actually became the blood, and through that your sins were washed away. Your sins are washed away at the cross some 2,000 years ago by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the means of your sin being washed away through the what we call the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. So when we come to look at this, and John's preaching and crowds are coming, he's baptizing, and people are looking for really a fresh way. They're tired of legalism, they're tired of law, and so they're coming and they're listening, and great crowds are coming at that particular time. If you go and study a little bit of history, you will find that at the temple, there was a number of baptismal pools, many of them. Matter of fact, I think in the hundreds that there were, and they were big pools to where people would literally walk into them, like up to the neck, and then that was a picture of being cleansed for that moment. But it was a cleansing only for the body, just so they could go into the temple to have worship. It wasn't anything to do with inward or the heart or a change of man. It was just a ceremony, a tradition that they did. And they went under that for that particular reason, just for the cleansing. So when we look at this today, we're going to see a number of passages. I want to begin in Luke chapter 2 and verse, in verse 21. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'Your beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, today that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we might see clearly what you want us to see regarding baptism and the significance of it in Scripture, and what you think of it, and why you want us to do it. We ask you, Lord, to speak to hearts that need to follow the Lord in baptism. We ask you, Lord, to speak to hearts of people who need to come to know Christ. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at this, again, often acts were done to outward ceremony. The priest did that, you'll recall. Before they went into the Holy of Holies, there was a cleansing and a certain method that they went through to be cleansed before they went in. There was the atoning work of one day when the scapegoat would come, and all the sins of Israel would be placed upon that scapegoat, and then he would go out into the wilderness taking their sin with them, but it only lasted for a moment. And so when we come now, we have the Lamb of God who comes to John wanting to be baptized. So we ask the question, I want to ask you about four questions or so in the scripture. First one, why was Jesus Christ himself baptized? Now, I'm not necessarily looking for an answer, but I'm going to give you one, okay? So when you look at scripture, was it due to a need for him to confess? Was it for him to repent? Not at all. Why? Because the scripture says that he was what? He was sinless. He had no sin. And I want to just confirm that for you in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. Give me just a minute to get there. I'm not complaining, Chris, but the light's terrible. And he actually told me the last time I talked to him, B, that he was getting some lights. And not for me. It didn't happen. Okay, no problem. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, your adversary, the devil, prowls about. That's not it. 1 Peter chapter 2. There it is. If I turn this way, I can see it. Look at that. Amazing. Let me get it. Here we go. Chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you have all been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. He committed no sin. So if he committed no sin, why was he baptized? Let me back up and say just what I said beginning. Baptism does not save you. Baptism does not wash away your sin. Baptism is something that is a picture of obedience, and that is exactly what the Lord is doing in him being baptized, is demonstrating an obedience that we're to follow and fulfill. Why was he baptized? In order to primarily to identify with sinners, to demonstrate obedience. When you're baptized, when you were baptized, you're demonstrating an obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the scripture we just quoted in the baptismal clip a while ago, talking about when you were baptized and go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's a picture of an obedience that needs to take place in our lives, to give a confirmation to the message of John. That's another reason that Jesus was baptized, to give a confirmation to John. What was he preaching? He was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the truth. And so it's a confirmation of what John was preaching. Also, I think the most significant thing is to give a picture of what's going to happen future in the life of Jesus. What's going to happen future? What's going to happen future? He's going to be crucified on the cross. He's going to come down from that cross, and he's going to be buried, and he's going to be resurrected. So it's a picture. When you look at baptism, it's a picture of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. But it's also, when you come to Christ, according to Romans chapter 6, it is a picture of your death, your burial, and your resurrection, a picture of your death to what? Your death to sin. When you come to Christ, you're actually dying to sin. You're saying, sin no longer has dominion over me, and Christ has taken my sin upon himself of the sacrifice on the cross, and that is exactly what we look at when we talk about baptism. So it's significant that if you have followed, trusted Christ as Savior, that you should follow him in baptism. Because the whole concept is we're to follow him. Amen? That's what being a Christian is all about. It's not about coming to church on Sunday, though it's a good thing. I wouldn't accuse you for doing that. But it's a better thing when we walk with him 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's the picture that we're drawing. I have died to sin. I have a new life. What did Paul say? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it is, in verse 15, he said, if any man be in Christ, he's what? New creation. He's new. So that's the picture that we draw from this passage. Why was Jesus baptized? To identify with sinners, to demonstrate obedience, to give confirmation to John, and give a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. Second thing, why did John baptize Jesus? That's a good question, isn't it? Why did John do it? Well, it was God's plan. John didn't want to. If you look at right quick at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13 through 15, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. Look what the scripture says. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. John did not want to baptize. Matter of fact, if you study and look at the Greek text, what you're going to find is it was not just a one-time thing of saying, I'd rather not do this. It was trying to get him not to do that, but for Jesus to baptize John, because what did John say? I am a what? I'm a sinner. You've come to me wanting me to baptize you, and you should be baptizing me because I'm a sinner. Why did John say that? John said that because he knew Jesus was sinless. He knew that the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of the living God that was going to come would come sinless. He was perfect, born of a virgin without sin. That's what makes Jesus who he is he is sinless Son of the living God. Okay? We understand that. So why did Jesus baptize? It was God's perfect plan. He understood, one, that Jesus was sinless, but yet he tried to avoid doing it. He was unworthy to do that. And as I said, the original text, he kept trying to say, no, I don't want to do that. But John MacArthur, I love what John says. Basically, John the Baptist was bewildered and didn't have understanding of what was going on. This is the Lamb of God. This is the one who takes away the sin of the world. Why am I baptizing the Savior? Why am I baptizing the Messiah? The Lord, if you stick around long enough, he will ask you to do things that you'll wonder, why is he asking me to do that? But he will ask you to do things that are not totally understood all the time, and certainly that is the case with John. Knowing he was a sinner, he asked in Matthew 3:14, and you come to me, I need to be baptized by you. I need to be baptized by you. So that's why John baptized, because that was God's plan from the very beginning. And again, the picture is Matthew 3:15, Jesus being baptized by John fulfilled all righteousness. It fulfilled it. It brought it to a place to where people understood literally who he was, and that began the journey of his life and his ministry among people. Third thing I want to ask you, why should we be baptized? Why? If it doesn't do anything for me, but it does do something for you. What does it do for you? It gives a picture to the Lord of your willingness to be obedient, to follow after him. We said that already, we say it again. To follow after him, to be obedient to what he's called you to do. And that's a start. You look back on that. Many of you look back on your time you were baptized. Many of you can remember that. Now, I went through a time when I was baptized and I wasn't saved. And I came to a place where I realized that was the truth, and I came back and I was baptized. I wasn't rebaptized. I was baptized. Because the first one, I just went down a dry center and came up a wet one. That's all it was to it. But now I know that I followed him in baptism because that was a command, and it was something that I really wanted to have meaning in my life. And I think one of the great needs today is to make it meaningful. And that's what we are trying to do at Champion. And we want to do that next Sunday in a meaningful way so we have great remembrance to you. Why should we baptize? First of all, this is the main reason why you should be baptized. By immersion, it's a command. It's a command. And by the way, I hope you know that this book is not a suggestion book. It is a book of commands, filled with commands of how we're to live our life once we come to Christ. One of the first initial steps of demonstrating obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ is to follow him in believers' baptism. Note the term that I just said. Believers baptism. Now, some of you may be here and you're in this room and you grew up in a different world of religion or church or whatever, and maybe you were baptized as a baby, as an infant. But what we're wanting to do, and what the scripture says we're to do, is to proclaim Christ, see people come to know Christ, and then baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because we're talking about baptism for believers. Baptism for believers. Now, that can be a dedication type thing, but you have to come to be saved. That's the first initial thing that needs to happen in your life, if it hasn't, is you trust Christ as your Savior. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, you follow him. At 1 year old, I don't believe you can do that, because one of the key things of trusting Christ as a Savior and knowing that He's the Savior who takes away the sin of the world is this: you understand you are a sinner. And you are. Amen? I mean, even if you're saved, you're still a sinner. You still sin, right? Now, listen to me carefully. Just because you do, don't plan it. Okay? Don't plan it. That is not good. That means that you really have an issue, okay? So you need to not do that. But sin's going to happen in our life. See, a lot of times in our attitude, in our appetites, in our action, we say things, do things, think things that we shouldn't think. But thank God that He is rich in mercy and grace, and He's constantly cleansing us. Constantly cleansing us. So what we're saying is that why should we be baptized? That it's a command. Remember the day of Pentecost? Acts chapter 2. Peter talks about that during his sermon there were 3,000 that believed that day, and 3,000 were baptized. Wouldn't that be a great day? So how would we do that? I don't know. We'd figure it out. Trust me, if we had 3,000 people saved one Sunday, we'd figure out how to get them baptized, because it's essential that we follow the Lord in obedience. It's a picture of following Him and fellowship of Him. Not only that, why should we baptize? His command. Now, the second thing, it is a public disclosure. It's a public disclosure. When you come to be baptized, what you're saying to the world, to the church, I unashamedly have committed my life to Christ, and I'm going to follow Him all the days of my life. That is my goal. That is my objective. See, the issue of salvation from a biblical perspective is not that you've, in the old days, walked an aisle or prayed a prayer. The issue, are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it your heartbeat? Is it your desire to be obedient to Him, to do what He's asked you to do? Ephesians 4:1 says we're to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We're to walk in a manner. Now, the word walk always from the New Testament, almost every time, means manner of life. Manner of life. So we're to walk, and we're to follow Him, and we're to honor Him, and we're to be obedient to Him. And the first step is obedience. And then from there, He takes us on this absolutely unbelievable, challenging, heartbreaking journey. And it is sometimes. Scott Rowling is a wonderful man of God. He's a wonderful Christian guy. He's a friend of mine. But I'm telling you right now, he's hurting. He's in pain. And see, we have this facade of Christianity going around. I call it pseudo-Christianity, that says you come to Christ and everything's going to be good. I want to give you some really bad news. That's not true. It's not true. Any of y'all ever had trouble? Well, three of the rest of you are lying. Have you ever had trouble? Sure you have. Sure you have. Was God in the midst of that trouble with you? Yes. And right now, God is in the midst of Scott Rowling and his son Matthew's life right now. But it's still trouble. Just because we're Christians does not exempt us from difficulties of life and heartache and pain. But yet we have something that the world doesn't have. We have a Savior to stand with us. We have a Savior to walk with us. We have a Savior to guide us. We have a Savior that one day is going to wipe away every tear from every eye in heaven, and there'll be no heartache and no pain. That's what we live for, because that's our future. That's where we live. That's where we're headed. It is a public disclosure. Testimony baptism identifies with Christ. It's a testimony of baptism. It identifies with Christ. We have trusted Christ for salvation, and He alone, amen? He and He alone. Not anything else is going to make a difference in our lives but Him. Fourth thing, who should be baptized? Well, I've answered that to some degree, but we'll deal with it a little bit more. Those who have repented. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. And really the word for can translate from the original language on behalf of. Because you have been saved, be baptized. Because you've followed after Christ and chosen to follow His call and His beckoning call, because He called you. There's the sovereignty of God in salvation, and there is the man in responsibility. That's what it is. It's really a picture. It's like a train track, and what you have on the train track is you have going down one side of the track is the sovereignty of God. On the other side is the responsibility of man, and somewhere in the midst of that journey, when you get saved, those tracks cross, and you come to God, and God comes to you. How that works, I do not know. I cannot explain that to you. I just know that in the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, it is a common thing, and both are right. Both are yes, that is true of God. So it's important that we understand what salvation is to come to it. When you look at it, why should we be baptized? Those who have been repented, those who have come to know Christ, followed him and follow him in baptism. Those who have been instructed regarding biblical mandate to be baptized, talking about some things we're doing today. It's essential. It's important. You will be blessed by doing it, and God will be glorified when you do it. So I'm encouraging you, if you're here, you've trusted Christ, you've never been baptized, or maybe you did what I did. Maybe you were baptized when you were a kid, 9 years old like me, and you realize since then that you really come to know Christ. I would encourage you to consider being baptized, not rebaptized, just baptized, okay? Encouraging that. Fifth thing, what prevents baptism? What prevents us from being baptized? Well, I think, one, maybe we're really not saved. We've really never come to know the Lord, and we don't want to go through that. We don't want to do that. I think there's two or three other things. One, maybe my pride would keep me from it. Maybe embarrassment, that I would be embarrassed. Can I tell you something? If you're here and you've never been baptized, this church is going to rejoice when you get baptized. They're going to shout hallelujah when you get baptized because they're making a commitment to be obedient to the Lord. The other thing is sometimes it's fear. I have a lot of stories about baptism, and I won't bore you with all of them, but some of them have been quite hilarious, okay? They really have been. A friend of mine named Ed Hall, who's with the Lord now, his daughter Dee Dee was being baptized. Dee Dee came down into the water, and it was nice and warm, and everything was just like it ought to be. And the moment I touched her and started to bring her down, it was wildcat time. I did not know that Dee Dee Hall was afraid of the water. And she was petrified of the water. But I did get her baptized. I was much bigger than she was. So we got it done, okay? And out of that water she came, and I went to Ed after. I said, Ed, what didn't you tell me? He said, I forgot about it. I said, thanks a lot, you know. But, you know, sometimes baptism are humorous, and after it was over, Dee Dee was fine, and it was all good. But I will guarantee you this, she remembers it. No question about it. Baptism is an interesting thing. It's like Bud Harmon, a big old heavy equipment operator guy, came to our church, and he was a Christian. Oh, yeah, I've done that. And about 3 weeks later, he came out of that seat, pew, blubbering like a little kid and bawling and saying, I've never done what you preached about this morning. So it came time for baptism, and I walk into the church that night, and it's wintertime. It is super, super cold outside. Brother Neville, one of my two deacons, came to me and said, we have a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, the water is freezing, cold, freezing, frigid, Antarctica. And I said, so I went to Bud and his little girl, I can't remember her name right now, Kim, and I went to him and said, Bud, the water's cold. You're a sissy, preacher? That's exactly what he said. I said, no, Bud, I'm not a sissy. I'm just warning you and letting you know it would not be fair for me to take you into that and plunge you under and the temperature of the water is freezing, okay? I can handle it. I said, Kim, what are you going to do? I'm going to do what Daddy's going to do. I said, baby, it's cold. It's okay. So Kim comes down. We do Kim first. Kim's come down. I normally read scripture back then in the baptistry. And when I started in the baptistry, I reached back and handed my Bible to Brother Neville. I said, this ain't going to work. I don't have time for that. By the time they got in there, I was already numb. That's how cold it was. I'm serious. Kimberly comes in. I baptize her. She gasped a little bit. And here comes Mr. Macho Bud. First step, little change of expression. Second step, major change of expression. He gets into the water, and I was already numb. I couldn't feel anything. So I said, hey, Bud, would you like to share your testimony? No, I know I've trusted Jesus. Get this over with. That's exactly what he said. And so down we went. Old Bud came out of that water, and he spewed like a whale. I mean, like, he said, oh, it's cold. And I said, told you. Also, Bud remembers. But see, when you come to Christ, and you're willing to follow him in baptism, you'll look back on that and you'll never regret that you've done that and followed the Lord in that fashion. You've come to him in salvation. Here's the question. You can trust us. We won't hold you under long, okay? We won't hold you under long. Just come and get it done. Another thing, maybe indifference. Indifference. Anyway, that's the things that might prevent us. What is baptism? It's immersion. It's the Greek word baptizo. It means to dunk. It means to dip completely. It means immersion in full water. It means completely covered. When you go under, like when you're buried, you go into the grave, right? And you don't go part way in, you go all the way in. It's a picture of death, burial, and resurrection. So it's a full immersion into the water. Jesus was baptized in that fashion. Biblically, we know that. So it should be very easy for us to follow him and do what Jesus has done. And I would encourage you to do that. The New Testament teaches baptism by immersion. By immersion, that's the manner. That's why we Baptists baptize by immersion. We put you under. We don't keep you long, but we put, now some I've kept under a little longer than others because I thought they needed a little more help, but that's not really the case. But it's a great time of worship. It's a great time of honoring the Lord, and I want to encourage you to do that. Now, last thing, and I ask this question, what hinders you from being baptized? What hinders you? If you're a Christian, you've trusted Christ and never been baptized, what hinders you? Is it fear? We'll help you get over that. We'll walk you through it. It'll be okay. Trust us when we say that. Now, the other thing that I would say to you is this. Do you remember the story of Philip? Philip is there by a place and he's the preacher, the deacon, and along comes the Ethiopian eunuch. And he looks at the Ethiopian and he's reading. He said, and he's reading from Isaiah, says the scripture. And he says, what are you reading? Do you understand it? He said, no, how can I if no one explains it to me? Come up and sit with me. And so Philip climbs up into the chariot thing or the little canopy thing they carry, and he explains the scripture to him. And so they're going along their little ways and they come to water. And the Ethiopian says, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? Answer, not one thing. Not one thing prevents you except you. That's the only thing that prevents you. The Ethiopian wanted to be baptized. They stopped. They went down into the water. And the scripture says, it says when Jesus was baptized, when the Ethiopian was baptized, it said, and they came up out of the water. That means they were baptized by what? Immersion. They went totally under. And then in that moment, Philip is carried away to go do his ministry somewhere else. But the Ethiopian was baptized, and it was a great day for him. It is a beautiful picture of your new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 says this, you were once dead in your transgressions and sin. You were once dead. That means that you were not spiritually alive. Doesn't mean you were physically dead. It means you were not spiritually alive. But you weren't dead in your transgressions and sin. Then the great part comes. Always remember this. The teaching moment, okay? Teaching moment. Anytime you see the scripture or the words, but God, that is an amazing time to stop and consider and think, why is it saying that? It's before or it's after? It's about God going to do something. And in Ephesians 2, it says that, but God, you were once dead in your transgressions and sin. But God, being rich in mercy, watch this now, raised you up out from among the dead and seated you in the heavenly places. Can I give you some really good news this morning? I'm going to ask you a question. Where are you? You say, well, that's a stupid question. I'm here. You are, but you're not. You're both. You are here, but you're with the Lord. Absent from the body in death, you're with the Lord. But God sees you as already in heaven. Listen to the scripture. You were once dead in your transgressions and sin, but God did what? Raised you up out from among the dead and seated you in the heavenly places. So you can keep looking down, not looking up, okay? And you're looking and seeing what God, you're already there. And it's a great thing to consider that the Lord sees you as already there. He sees you as already in heaven. That should compel us to live the Christian life and be obedient to him. You were once dead in your transgressions, but God raised you up. Listen, before you got saved, you're here today and you're saved. Before you got saved, you were living among the dead. You were living among the dead. But when you got saved, now what do we need to do? We need to live among the living, right? That does not mean we ostracize those who are not Christian. It doesn't mean we do not befriend them and encourage them. We do. But we're to live among the living because we are now alive in Christ. Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ. It's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me and through me. So important we see that. Next thing, and I'll share it with you as I close, you now walk in the newness of life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Let me read that for you. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans 6 and verse 4. Beginning from verse 1. This is a spiritual baptism here. This is the spiritual. When he talks about baptism here, it's not water, okay? So we've talked about water, but watch this. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? Answer, may it never be. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, not water baptism, spiritually we've been baptized into him. He raised us up from the dead. We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, for we, by the glory of the Father, we too might do what? Walk in the newness of life. You ever been in a baptism service? You ever heard the pastor say, buried in the likeness of Christ, raised to walk in the newness of life? And that's what we are. Once we come to Christ, the old man needs to go away. He's not been eradicated or anything like that. He still lives, amen? I mean, the old man in me still raises his head up sometimes. And he does in all of us. So what I'm saying is that we are in Christ, raised up with him spiritually, so we follow after him. And when we're baptized, that is a picture of that. That is a picture of me being buried with Christ and raised to walk in the newness of life. Death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, my death, burial, and resurrection. If you are here today and you've never trusted Christ, this would be a great day for your salvation. This would be a great day for you to come by faith and be raised up out from among the dead.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.